all-time favorite guest is this man. He ran for president. Wish he'd have won. He is chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. Mr. Steve Forbes has joined us now. Good morning, Steve.
Stevie, how are you?
I'm terrific. Great to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you again. Thank you.
I don't even know where to start, except we'll spin the wheel. Let's start with the spies in Iran who have so graciously been released this morning after they paid $500,000 each to get out for hitchhiking, ill-advised hitchhiking, I might add, on the Iran-Iraq border. What's your take on the kind Ahmadinejad?
Well, I think it's really thumbing his nose at Iran's thumbing their nose at the West, particularly the United States. It sadly is a little bit of deja vu of the hostage crisis 30 years ago and the contempt for the United States. If the United States is perceived as a strong, purposeful nation, these guys wouldn't have tried a stunt like that because they know we'd have reacted.
What should have we done when this happened?
We should have tightened up the screws on Iran in terms of their own assets over here. Made it quite clear that we would take military action against some of their facilities. And they would say, well, look what we'd do to these guys. We'd say, you'll pay for it. We know where you are. Have you ever heard of drones?
Mm. All right, to Palestinian statehood, they are in New York City. The UN is meeting 66th General Assembly. What's your take on Palestinian statehood?
Well, if the UN goes ahead with it without the Palestinian state, which is really two or three states in the sense that the extremists control Gaza, another group controls the West Bank, sort of, and if they don't acknowledge the right of Israel to exist, then I think we say, well, we give you guys $600 million a year. Why don't you go to Greece and see what you can get? Because you're not getting it from us.
Will that have an effect?
You bet it would. Money talks.
What about Saudi Arabia? Aren't they dumping some money into it now?
I think Saudi will tell them, you know, we'll help you out. But at the end of the day, they're not going to diss us because Saudi knows with Iran in the neighborhood, their existence depends on us.
Steve, let me ask the statehood possibilities for Palestine. If they are vetoed by the U.S., they can still take their argument to the 180 nations or whatever it is. Is that right?
That's right, and they would probably win such a vote. The question is, will they do it? What have we told them behind the scenes in terms of the consequences if they go ahead with this? And but the problem is the extremists are in charge behind the scenes, whatever their nominal leaders are. And that means you can't get an agreement between them and the Israelis. Two parties have to want an agreement. You know, 30 years ago when we did the Camp David Accords, Egypt wanted a deal, Israel wanted a deal, so we got a deal. But if the Palestinian extremists won't acknowledge Israel's right to exist and stop the terrorist attacks, we're going to have a stalemate.
But essentially all we have over their head is that $600 million, which is significant, but we can't really stop the other nations overwhelmingly approving this idea.
No, and but I think if we actually, I don't think the Palestinians really believe that at the end of the day we're going to cut them off. And for the Europeans, are they going to move in the breach when they've got Greece on their doorstep? They'll make noises about it, but I don't think so.
Why is the administration so chilly to Israel?
Because, sadly, the president believes that Israel's the cause of the conflict, that its existence has stirred up the Middle East. He buys into that. And he sort of let the cat out of the bag when Prime Minister Netanyahu was coming over here several months ago, and the president said, we want you to go to the 67 borders. Those are indefensible borders, and that's not going to happen. So the Israelis are very, very fearful about their existence, and I think people over here are recognizing this president really has no sympathy for them.
Why do the Jews vote for the Democrats?
I think it's for the idea of government helping people. It's then I think for altruistic motives. But I think you saw in the 9th district in New York where we had that special election where a Republican won for the first time in that district since 1920. This was to fill the disgraced Anthony Weiner seat. First time in 91 years that a Republican won in there. And one of the issues was this administration's very chilly attitude towards Israel.
So,
other issues.
Perhaps a Jewish vote in play in 12?
I think for the top of the ticket, yes.
Okay. All right, moving to the jobs bill. What's your take on the president's plan? He's laughing. He's laughing.
It's an unjobs bill. You know, we spent $800 billion 2.5 years ago on stimulus. We spent several hundred billion since. So it doesn't work. So what does he do? He proposes another $500 billion. So and where does the money come from, Stevie? It does not come from Mars or from Jupiter or manna from heaven. It comes from we the people, either through taxing, borrowing, or spending. And when government gets resources, the economy's hurt. You know, there are charts that show when the government spending as a proportion of our economy goes up, the economy goes down.
Well, he says it's not class warfare, it's math.
The math is the rich do pay more. People who make $1 million or more a year pay about 29% of their income to the federal government versus 10% for the middle class making $30,000, $60,000 a year. So they do pay more.
Well, that
is just sheer demagoguery.
Well, I was going to say 47%, Steve Forbes, doesn't pay anything.
That's right, in terms of federal income tax.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
that's not fair.
It is class warfare, and the math proves it.
All right, so 267,000 millionaires filed last year in this country. 29.1% is their rate. They are paying more than Warren Buffett's secretary's rate.
That's right. And Warren Buffett, as you know, apparently gets a lot of his income from dividends and capital gains. And in effect, what he seems to be calling for, although he won't say it and the president won't say it, is raising the capital gains tax. And every time you do that, guess what? You hurt the economy because investors take risks when they put their money to work. And if you're going to punish them for taking risks, they're just going to buy tax-free bonds. Not Illinois tax-free bonds,
yeah.
But others.
Thanks, yeah, very much for that. What about the stock market? What would happen to the stock market if they raise capital gains?
The market, depressed though it is, you know, it's been down from what it was in real terms 12 years ago. The market would go down further. Mm. And again, why put the money at risk if you're going to get punished if you have a gain? You take the losses, and when you get gains, the government scoops the money off the table. Hey, you're not going to play.
Steve Forbes on a couple more minutes here, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Okay, besides non-candidate Steve Forbes, who do you like for president?
Well, I'm looking over the field, but I must say I'm leaning towards Governor Perry of Texas. I like his fiscal record there. I like the fact that he put in real reforms, tort reforms, so that the personal injury lawyers, one part of this population of Texas, even though it's growing rapidly, one population sector of Texas that's gone down in the last 10 years since Perry has been governor are personal injury lawyers. They all fled to Oklahoma because of his reforms.
And we need that as a country, don't we?
You bet we do. So he's got the right instinct. So that's where I'm leaning right now.
All right. Do you get the sense, though, that the Republicans are thinking anybody, as long as they can win?
Well, I think I think the process is going to produce a strong candidate, just as we did in 1980. And I think the voters are in a mood for a profound change like Ronald Reagan brought in 30 years ago.
And do you think it's possible because the incumbent holds a lot of advantages?
The incumbent holds a lot of advantages, but this guy, you know, unemployment, the economy, use a French word, sucks. And the voters know it. And the voters feel this guy does not understand what makes people have a chance to work and get ahead in this country, that he doesn't believe in upward mobility when you have a normal economy. And so this kind of dour, pessimistic view of the world, people don't like it. It's not where they think this country should be going.
Is there anything Barack Obama can do to change the feeling of the independent right now?
Oh, yes. He could stop trashing the U.S. dollar and make it strong and stable again. That would just take a few phone calls from Treasury Department to the Fed, but they won't do it. He could call for the repeal of Obamacare. That would send the market up 2,000 points right away.
Yeah. Somehow, I don't think.
But he ain't going to do it.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Well, it's always a pleasure, Steve. I always appreciate your insights into all the things going on. And I can't talk you into running, can I?
No, I'm an agitator. But keep the faith. I think the country is turning, and I think we're going to see it after 2012.
There's a lot of people that have never said a word about politics that are speaking out like never before in my lifetime.
Absolutely. And the main media doesn't like it. Citizens are acting in ways without their permission.
Yeah, you know, that's a creepy thing. And how about that attackwatch.com where you're supposed to report things that are negative toward the president? That feels creepy.
Well, it's been laughed off. They've had to change that part because they're getting comments like, somebody said that the stimulus bill was supposed to keep unemployment below 8%. That isn't true, is it?
No, it's not. And yet you hear the Democrats say, hey, we grew all these jobs with that stimulus. Republicans say, hey, we lost all these jobs. What's the fact?
The fact is we're around 9% unemployment. Case closed.
All right. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much, as always.
Stevie, thank you.
Our pleasure to have you back. Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, former presidential candidate, speaks a lot of sense. Steve, are you still with me?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you one last question before I let you go. Flat tax, is it time? You're way ahead of your time.
I think it's going to come. There's a growing mood, even among Democrats, for tax simplification. You saw it last December, that deficit commission the president appointed. Democrats signed on to the idea of tax simplification. They didn't go for the flat tax yet, but tax simplification, the idea is gaining hold, and it's going to be a big positive issue in 2012.
Well, I appreciate you having the insight to bring it up so many years ago, because I think you're absolutely right, and I hope we can simplify this thing. It's crazy complicated. Thanks again, as always, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
718, back in a moment. Steve Forbes on 93.5, 95.3, The New Connect FM.